Anybody got a song?
Open your Bibles, if you would, then, to Leviticus chapter 20. Keep your Bibles there. 21, rather. And keep your Bibles there. I'm sorry, 20. I'll take you wherever I want to take you. I figure you need all the time you could spend in the Bible anyway, as it was. Okay, let's go. Leviticus chapter 20. Y'all know I always get the last word up here. I emphasized up here. Leviticus chapter 20. Listen, all jokes aside, let me just lay a little groundwork. Our last presidential president, President Obama, his Vice President Biden, they came in sheep's clothing. Listen to me, especially you young people. I want you to listen to me a minute. A lot of what I'm going to be preaching tonight is directed to you. They came in sheep's clothing, stating that they were running for president, and they believed that marriage was between one man and one woman. As for 20-some hundred years, that it had, or really 60-some hundred years, it had been practiced and taught. And so, the same time, Michelle Obama, his wife, the first lady that the press likes to build up as the greatest first lady, I will say this, that I don't remember ever having a more graceful first lady than what we have right now. But they came in and she was telling all the crowds, the Sodomite crowds, shh, we'll help you. Let him get in. He got in. And he was able to push this same-sex marriage. And even though 30-some states have passed laws in which they are not going to recognize it, he's pushed it, and in doing so, he elevated their agenda to degrees that we'll never be able to pull it all back. We don't understand that it's a dangerous time, and we'll get in this in a moment, but it's as it was in the days of Sodom. Somebody said, I don't see a problem. Let's go just a moment. And the reason why I'm bringing this out is we are facing another election soon. Now, President Trump and I disagree with this stance. He does not fight against the union of two men. He doesn't promote it. He doesn't fight against it. He he is wrong. But on the other side, you have those pushing the agenda strongly, and you even have one that's openly flaunting his husband, whatever that makes him, on stage. I can't ever say his name. Buddha Jess, something like that. He was mayor in Indiana, and so now he's running for president. And he told Rush Limbaugh, because he told Rush said on his program that he didn't believe America would vote in someone that was kissing their husband on stage, another man. And so he'd come and he said he didn't want any lectures from him. And he's all the time condemning Christian people who thinks it's wrong. But let's begin reading, and I want to show you some things in the Bible. I want you to stay with me, and I want you to turn with me just a few moments as we go to a couple of things. In verse 13 of chapter 20, If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an what? Abomination means something that God despised, something that God would never accept, something that God would never say, well, in time I might give over in it. Abomination is always rejected by God. Not only that, but notice what else he said. They shall surely be what? Put to death, their blood shall be upon them. In other words, anytime a man lied with a man as if he laid with a woman, and it happened and it become public, they would put them to death. Wasn't man's law, it was God's law. Somebody said, well, that was harsh. Well, we've seen a decline, and I want you to stay with me a moment. And I want you to think about how much damage since 2009, when President Obama came and pushed this agenda and emboldened people. Think about what it's done. Number one, it's strengthened the gay agenda. They have now they've given voice to the sodomites all over the place. We have even people like him emboldened enough to stand up. And everywhere you turn, nobody wants to say nothing because the press and all of them pushes it as socially acceptable. And then they push against you if you say something about it. Not only that, through the press, they have taken the liberal agenda and they love it and they pushed it. And as I said, they've done what Isaiah 5:20 said would happen. They would be calling evil good and good evil. And anyone who stands up and says it's wrong, they call you evil, call you hatred, call you a hate monger, all kinds of names. Not only that, but it also, when Obama did it, it brought millions of dollars into his coffers. He's now a rich, rich, rich man. And when he came into the presidency, he wasn't. Not only that, but he has also pushed the youth in their educational process. It has emboldened them to push the agenda. In many schools, I don't know what we're doing here locally, but in many schools, they are pushing the agenda, the homosexual agenda, in kindergarten and first grade. I know many places I've read, they have them come in and teach their children. They have them come into the libraries, these transgenders, and sit and read to the children so that they would think it's norm. And they read, and of course, the stories they read is about Steve and Harry having a relationship and all that. And they try to push it on the kids at a young age as normal. And so we're seeing it attacked everywhere we see. We were seeing with him, hate bill. He was pushing a hate bill. And Congress was building up to do a hate bill. They were wanting all these to be added to by name and by preference into the discrimination issues so that you give them stronger foothold in courts when they would sue you. Had we not voted in President Trump and he turned around some of the agenda, had Hillary Clinton been voted in, churches would probably have been faced with hate crimes right now. Any time that we would stand up and preach the message I'm preaching tonight. Hollywood has come in. They love it. Everything on TV anymore has to have somebody gay, some sodomites on every show. They don't seem like they can make a show or a movie without promoting that agenda. Listen to me very carefully. This is agenda. Now listen to me, every one of you. You either come on one side or the other. There is no middle ground. You're either for it or you're against it. It also caused a good thing that President Obama did was this. He woke the churches up. Because there was people like me that didn't think anywhere like a few years ago we would ever see a bill like that passed in America. I didn't think we would ever seriously have a conversation in my lifetime where we would be debating on forcing same-sex marriage on everybody. It's amazing. They call it alternative lifestyle. God calls it abomination. Let's look at some things real quickly, if you would. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. And what they try to do is they try to put a human face upon it. And putting a human face upon it, they try to soften the fact of what it is. But God, the Bible, makes no exception for it. He calls it sin. He calls it a grave sin. America is going the way of Sodom. Ezekiel chapter 16, look if you would in verse number 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Remember Sodom? Somebody said, well, it was because of sodomy. That's why we call it sodomy. That's where the name came from. But look what came into Sodom first. Pride. In other words, they become proud of themselves and everything. Pride can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Fullness of bread. They didn't worry about their meals. Abundance of idleness. Too many lazy people. Too many people idle, not doing nothing. Was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. I'm going to tell you something. It's a dark day when America did what she did and God took note of it. I'm confident. America, in leaning this way, has created several issues. Look, if you would, back in Genesis chapter 18 a moment. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, there's a couple things that we can learn. In chapter 18, look in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because they're what? Their sin is what? Very grievous. What was their sin? Sodomy. It was men with men. Remember what happened whenever the two angels went into Lot? Remember what happened? The men of Sodom saw them go in there. They wanted to bring them back out so that they could know them, have sex with them. And the angels caused them to go blind. Remember that? Look, if you would, in chapter 19. Chapter 19, when they came to Lot to want the men, notice what he did. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Who was the brethren he's talking to? The men of Sodom. Listen to me a minute. There's a whole lot of members of the church and a lot of churches that accepts it. They're ordaining and they're committing and they're performing marriages and they're doing all those things within their church structure. We are not to call them brethren. Sodomites are not to be called brethren. Lot got into that. He lost his whole family. He was the only one out of the whole bunch. And his two daughters escaped with him from the fire and brimstone. But yet, through their lives, other things happened. Notice in Judges chapter 19. Turn on over in Judges chapter 19. Notice if you would. Verse number 22. It says, "Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door." And by the way, these are Sodomites. "And they spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth a man that came in into thy house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went unto them and said unto them, Nay, my what?" That's what happens when you begin to fellowship with it. "Nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into my house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden," same thing that Lot did, "and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not so vile a thing." But the men will not hearken to him. Same thing happened in Lot's house. He offered his two virgin daughters. They'd never known a man. He said, "Take my two daughters." Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine a father, those of you who are fathers, to stick your two virgin daughters out there and say, "They've never known a man. Take them to a whole crowd of men in the city." He said, "Take them and do with them what you want to do." How vile can you get? Now, we're called intolerant. Public opinion continually tries to force the agenda and tries to force anyone who thinks this way. But even the laws, and even on right now on many people's laws, it's against the law to commit sodomy. And even though I know that now that they pass this same-sex marriage, it's not enforced. And of course, public opinion, they want to present them as martyrs and heroes and good citizens and good parents. It's a funny thing. You can go up there and try to adopt a child that's in need and be a good parent, have good and be a married couple and have a good jobs and good place and good home, and you can't get through the door for years. And two homosexuals can go up there and they'll have them in a week or two. Churches have quit preaching. Don't ever mention it. When we quit mentioning it, the young people just begins to think that, well, maybe it is acceptable, that we all just accept it. Look back, if you would, one more place. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 a moment. In Romans chapter 1, now we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, Paul relates to us three ways the people begin to reject God. Look if you would. First, they begin to reject his revelation. Look in verse 19, chapter 1. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest," in other words, made known in them, "for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are," what? "Without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened." Now let me stop right there and say this. When you start rejecting the revelation of God, you turn into a heathen. Some people says, "Well, it's not fair that people's going to die in these heathen countries never hearing the word of God." You know whose fault that is? The sin of their fathers and forefathers. You know why? They came off the same ship and same ark as your forefathers did. Some chose to remain and accept the revelation of God and who he was and what he was. They all knew it when they came off the ark. They all knew. Shem and Japheth all knew, sons of Noah. They all knew who God was. Somebody in those heathens' lives down the road rejected the revelation of God and quit talking and teaching about the revelation of God and began worshiping other things and turned them into a bunch of heathens. And by the way, there's a lot of heathens in America because they've rejected the revelation of God. Not only that, but look on. Then you have, in verse number 25, he goes on, he says in verse 22, talking about those same people, said, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between himself. And what happened was this, when they rejected the revelation of God, then what they did was they began to make little images to worship. That's why you go over there. You go to India right now, and animals are worshipped. They don't want you to kill nothing. Buddha didn't want you to even kill a mosquito. I sure would hurt his feelings. But anyway, look in verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And so they begin to reject God's word, not only his revelation of who he was, but his word. You know what this liberal bunch, you know why they don't want the word of God in our schools? You know why they don't want them in the courthouses? You know why they want the word of God proclaimed? Because it goes against their agenda. They hate the word of God. It's truth. And they've changed the truth into a lie. And they try to convince you that God would accept it and Jesus would accept it. As a matter of fact, some even try to promote that Jesus was one. Not only that, but look on in verse number 28. Or verse 27. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of woman, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. Remember that, we'll come back. To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, my tongue, I couldn't get it going right. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now listen to me a minute. What happened? They progressed. When they begin to reject God, they progress to adultery. Then they progress to all kinds of different sexual activities. Then they progressed into sodomites. The judgment, in verse 21, the Bible said, their heart, last part of it, their heart become what? Darkened. Verse 24, the Bible says, that God gave them up into uncleanness, the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And what happened was they began to even get seared in their own conscience. It didn't bother them anymore. Then the Bible says in verse 28 there, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind, I've had a lot of people ask me what a reprobate mind is. A reprobate mind is to go so deep into a grievous sin that God gives you a reprobate mind where you no longer have any shame. You no longer have any conviction. When you had all this coming out of the closets And people know, today you look at them and they're not ashamed. When you have that man standing up on the stage, he told Rush Limbaugh, he said, I love my husband and I'm faithful to my husband. Not ashamed to kiss my husband. He probably not. But I'm going to tell you something. When you lose the shame and conviction of sin, it's dangerous paths. And the Bible says that he turns you over a reprobate mind, where your mind no longer looks at a sin as being wrong. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's a whole lot of reprobates running around. They see nothing. These cities celebrate gay pride. And they come in and they march up and down the streets, many of them naked. Nobody says nothing to them. Kissing and slobbering all over each other. Reprobate minds. You say, preacher, you shouldn't call them reprobate. I didn't. God did. When you get a reprobate mind, you become a reprobate. Does it mean that anyone that's ever messed in a situation like that is damned? Dangerous path to go on. You don't want to get so deep into it. You say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it at all. God made man and woman marriage. From the beginning. All throughout the scriptures, Jesus said, they talked about a bill of divorce. Was it okay? He said, from the beginning, it was not so. And he goes on to explain that God took a man and woman, and that the man was to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two twain shall become one flesh. Never did he ever teach anything other than that. So sodomy is not marriage. You got that? You can't have a marriage. You have to redefine what that is. It's not marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman. We've always accepted the definition of marriage from the Bible, and God instituted marriage, and he told us what marriage was. Not only that, look, if you would, in chapter 2, Romans, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bear witness, their thoughts the means why accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. In other words, if you read the whole thing, they're without excuse. Because God's wrote in you. Listen. Homosexuality is not something that just happens. It's something that you work toward. You make happen. You don't inherit it. You make it happen. And so therefore, what you need to understand is that when you have these things and they try to say, well, I was born that way, that's not true. Their actions have led them up to that and the decisions that they make. Now, it offends God, and we need to understand. Let me show you three scriptures, and I'll close. Or two scriptures. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. We saw already in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, that they were to be stoned if they were caught, a man lying with a man. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 23. God's people, Israel, if a Gentile come, they were not part of God's people, but that God made a way where they could come into God's people and become a part of his people. But notice what he says in 23. Chapter 23, notice if you would in verse 17. He says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor what? A sodomite of the sons of Israel. In other words, they were not allowed to come into their camp and be a part of their camp. A sodomite was not. Turn with me one more place, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Look, if you would, in verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the what? Out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. People say, well, preacher, God would be accepted. No, that's sin, he's not. He hasn't been. Nor will it ever be. It's abomination. Abomination he detests. Abominations he will judge. He will never change his mind. Anything he ever called abomination, he never come back and change his mind on. God did not make two men and two women to be together. Physically, you're not made to be together. Emotionally, psychologically, sociology, none of those things are. Children deserve to be raised by their mother and their father. They need both influences in their lives. Two men cannot perform those roles, neither can two women. God didn't make marriage as such. Again, we are faced in this nation of having this conversation come before our face in this election. You either stand one way or you stand the other way. And you say, well, they'll accuse me. They've accused a lot of people. But you got to make your mind up where you stand. And we need to teach our children. Do you want it coming home in your house? To your children, your grandchildren? I've seen it. I'd love my children to the end. But I would never, ever look and say, that's acceptable. And I'd love them to the end. But God does not give us the authority to put a stamp on something that he detests. And so tonight I wanted to share that with you because we're beginning to see the conversation come back up in this country. And there is no middle of the ground. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, I don't want to stand against it or for it. I'm just going to take the middle road. I said, there is not a middle road. This is one of those subjects you're either for or against. And you just got to determine where you're going to get your source of where you stand on. Amen. So let's stand tonight if you would. I know tonight's been a little different message. But maybe you're here tonight and God's dealing your heart. You need to come. We always like to give an invitation for people to come. If God spoke to you about something,